This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
What do you believe is the right number or the right answer for the next stimulus check?
Well, I don't believe in a stimulus check, because if $600 or $1,400 changes your life, you were pretty much screwed already. You got other issues going on. You have a career problem, you have a debt problem, you have a relationship problem, you have a mental health problem. Something else is going on if $600 changes your life.
Hi, fatty. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. But fat shaming works, you know? And I just wanted to tell you quickly before we start the show about NTT Fitness and NTTNutrition.com. Now, what they do for you is they deliver you handcrafted, perfect micros, perfect macros. You get all your nutrition in one little packet. You stick it in the microwave, or if you're really fancy, you can put it in the oven or an air fryer that you got for Christmas. Everybody loves those. And you can heat it up and you eat it, you put it in your body, and then you push it out the next morning, and then you look good, you feel good. It's as easy as that. Yeah, you got to exercise too, but they can't help you with that. Actually, they can, because I believe they have a gym, but Corona still and all that. But right now, we're just saying NTTNutrition.com. Use code HOMEMADE15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Please mention the Homemade Broadcast at checkout. Yeah, do it. 2021, new year, new you.
Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5. 4, 3, 2, 1.
The waiting drove me mad. You're finally here and I'm a mess. I take your interest back. Can't let you roam inside my head. I don't wanna take what you can give. I'd rather starve than eat your bread.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Welcome back to the program. I hope you're well. I hope that you don't need $600 or $1,400 and that you're able to stay afloat without these things. My goodness, that was Dave Ramsey at the beginning of that clip there, beginning of the show. I agree with that sentiment that if $1,400 will change your life, we're not talking about life-changing things, though. We're talking about, you know, buying food for a lot of people. Maybe buy yourself some sundial grower's stock and then sell it way, way, way too early like I did this week. That would have been a nice little windfall for me. I don't like the idea of giving people money for free, but we're giving corporations money for free for a long time, so why not give it to us? If it's our money, if it's our tax dollars, if it's not invented and printed up on a press, which it mostly is, money's not real. Nothing's really real. 2021, everything's fake. That's what I'm rolling with. I mean, does anybody... Nobody thinks that. That's the thing about these accusations, is they just throw these wild sentiments out there and think that everybody thinks that. Nobody thinks that $1,400 will change your life. It might keep you in your home for one more month. It might allow you to have some food, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody thinks it's life-changing. Or, I mean, look, with the way the stock market is, that's fake, as we've learned. maybe $1,400 would be enough if you could make a couple of the right, you know, dice rolls. Not like me, but if you make a couple of good dice rolls, hey, that could change your life. $1,400, just to throw around. I mean, most likely people are going to buy air fryers and massage guns on Amazon with it. But hey, whatever. It stimulates the economy. At least you have something to show for it. Don't use it on college. Take out loans, man. You can pay them off just forever, ever you want. Don't worry about it. Oh, good Lord, indeed. My name is Will Kuntz. This is the Homemade Broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Anna Hummel should be here shortly. I don't know. Poor thing. She's got a lot on her plate. She's running around. She's doing her own show. She's doing her morning show. She's talking a lot. We talked a little bit after the podcast last week, and she's talking a lot, and she can't really hear herself talk anymore. But she feels like this is worthwhile and wants to do it. So I think she'll be here shortly. I'm just doing a quick little intro before we do that, because I want to tell you about Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salon and spa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Please go check them out. Truvy Salon and spa.com. 813-693-2124 is a voice and text line. I talked to PP Steve. He got the stickers. He's loving them. You're welcome, Stevie. Happy to do it for you. I think I have a few more homemade broadcast stickers. I'm out of Johnny B Show stickers. They are gone entirely. So sorry. But if you want some homemade broadcast stickers, if you send me a message at 813-693-2124, I will send you out some for free, because I'm just a great guy like that. What can I tell you? So Steve, I hope you have them proudly presented somewhere that you and the world and myself will be proud of, and I appreciate you. Thank you. The show is free, and the stickers are free, but if you feel at all inclined, there is a donate page on hmbradio.com. Don't need to do that. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying, if you have extra capital right now and you want to change somebody's life by giving them $1,400, no, I'm just kidding. That's way too much. Don't do that. But, you know, it's there. If you want to, I'll take it. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I would cut my hand. You can give it to me in change. I'll come back with a few carloads. I'll come back, load it up, and then come back to your house. So, I mean, let me know what you want to do. I'd suggest just do it on PayPal or Venmo or a Cash App that's on there now. You can find that at hmbradio.com/donate. And just a heads up, if you're listening to this on Sunday, Valentine's Day, on the 15th, Johnny and I and Monica will be covering the Mike Halter Show in the morning. So President's Day, very important day to the Halter crew. They celebrate privately for President's Day, and we'll be there in their stead and taking the reins there, 6 to 10 a.m. on theboneonline.com worldwide, or just put your radio on, you know, those old fancy things that people used to have, and some people still do have, and put it on 102.5 The Bone, if you're here in Tampa Bay. And you can hear that. And, of course, Johnny B Show, every weeknight, 9 to midnight, same station, 102.5 The Bone.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCPete.com.
Honor, you're here. You're very tired. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, sorry I'm late. I felt like I was annoying you.
No.
I was not annoying you, but I felt like you're like this bitch.
Not at all.
Okay. Because your answers were curt, but you're also a curt man.
It's so. Also on text, too. You can't tell tone
that's true.
Over text.
Mm-hmm.
I was just doing other things. And,
yeah.
You know.
I got you.
I was using my time responsibly and wisely.
Right. We had Instagram videos to look at and Twitter.
Yeah. Following stocks and losing badly on different stocks.
Right.
It's not going great. For me, I alluded to it in my intro, but Sundial Growers, I'm recording this. This is on the 11th. This is Thursday the 11th. And I bought this Sundial stock. I sold my some of my AMC profits went into this stock because I heard that it was going to go up. And it got to a certain price. And I said, man, this thing's just not reliable. I'm going to sell it. And I sold it on the 9th. Yesterday, the 10th, it hit a record high. It went up 110%. It was the fastest growing stock on the New York Stock Exchange. And it would have been a good day for me if I had kept it and sold it yesterday. But, you know, that's
how
it goes.
Would you have sold yesterday If you saw it go up that much?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably would have even sold it earlier than what it peaked at. I probably would have sold if it hit over $2. But, you know, whatever. Whatever. Things happen. And
sorry to hear that.
Nothing you do about it. Yeah.
So. That's the gamble. But you're learning. That's the whole experience, right?
No, I'm not learning.
Yeah, no, you are,
though.
I'm just
bad. I'm just bad at this. I'm not good at it. But I enjoy it. That's the thing.
And yeah, well, it's gambling is what it is.
It is gambling.
So it's kind of fun. It's exciting. It's disposable income, so it's not like you need it for rent or anything. So
they had a there's another marijuana stock that was supposed to be the next big thing, and it went up and up and up, and then I think Wall Street's messing with the internet now because they know the inside track. They know the charts. You know, they have all this data. And so I think they, like, put disinformation out there, and then people buy it, and then they have investments in it, and then they dump them when it gets high.
Sure.
And I mean, that's the game in general. Always somebody gets stuck holding the bag, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, people manipulate the market, and you just got to – it's a game of musical chairs, and hopefully you have a chair to fall on when it, you know, when S hits the fan.
But you only lose when you sell, right? And I'm brand new at this. But I do know that. So you don't really win anything unless you sell.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really lose anything unless you sell. Mm-hmm. So you can always just hold on to it. I'm just trying to have some sort of separate savings account. There used to be a time when you could, even when I was a child, you could have a little savings account. Put aside a dollar. I used to have this little bank account with Indian Rocks Bank that was here in Florida, a small bank. And every Friday I would go in and Bubby would give me $1.25 or whatever she had in her purse. And I would go and I would stop by this lady's, you know, desk. And I would say, I'm depositing this in my savings account.
Mm.
And then you earned interest with it. Like, it grew over time.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't do that anymore. Savings accounts are useless. Really. They're just a place where you can set that money that's not under your mattress.
Well, it's hard, and I've been learning more about cryptocurrency as we go on and about where your money is best stored. But when you have money in a savings account and then you have something like a stimulus package, you're going to have massive inflation. So, you know, the $2,000 you had is really meaningless if you just everybody gets $2,000 from the government. You know what I mean? The prices go up. Everything goes up. The value of the dollar goes down. So putting things in a savings account now just seems like not the move. You want to put it in, like, things that typically appreciate over time, like real estate, or like cryptocurrency is the future. So
or, you know, even stocks, yeah.
Or stocks, but I've been really trying to force myself. Like, I hate saying that I'm, like, not a math and I'm a science person, but I'm not like a hardcore math person. But I hate saying that out loud because then you start to believe it, and then you think you're bad at math when you're just
not. I'm bad at math. I'm not good at it.
Right. But I mean, I've never been like severely, is it right brain or left brain? I think it's right brain is like more like math side. Mm-hmm. But, and typically people that are like very right brain seem to like coding. They like writing software. They like looking at numbers and stocks and things like that and learning about crypto. And that's typically not my interest at all. But I think I told you a few months ago, like, I'm like, I have to force myself to learn this. Because it's the future, even though I don't understand, you know, blockchain or how it exactly works. And still the idea of cryptocurrency is still kind of like, I get it, but it's not fully graspable yet because it's like it's fake money. But nothing is, we talk about this all the time, nothing is real.
Well, money's not. Money's, yeah.
Right, right. It's like there's, and then even if you go to like the gold standard, like gold is only assigned an arbitrary value. I know you said it has purpose and stuff like that, but nevertheless.
Oh, it used to. I mean, it has ornamental function still, and it used to be used in a lot of
electronics,
but like not so much anymore.
Ring is not functional in the sense that it does. It's not a purpose. It's just other people assign a market value to it, and then that's kind of what you go with.
Yeah.
So, but I'm trying to understand. I'm like, crypto really, it makes me curious. And I'm trying to learn as much as I can about it, but on the other hand, it also makes me feel dumb.
No, don't let it. I mean, I'm in the same boat you are, and trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And you know, my friends are financially minded. Some of them work in finance, and they were talking about it in a group chat, and like my eyes just glazed over when
really?
They were talking about it. I'm just
like,
I just don't care.
Are they investing in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's certainly the move, and I feel like it. Especially, I work with a guy named Kevin Hazlett, who's a attorney to the stars here in Tampa Bay. Really smart guy, and he's like really goes deep into crypto, and his son works for like a hedge fund, and he does a lot of crypto stuff. So he's trying to, you know, force me to learn, and I'm glad that he is, and really pushing me, because he said this is only going in one direction, and that's crypto. You know, mm-hmm. that's certainly mm-hmm. the future. So he's really pushing everybody to kind of, even if you don't want to invest thousands of dollars, at least put in a little money, because once you have money in the game, you're going to start at least paying attention.
Yeah.
To what's going on.
Yeah, I do. But now it's something that I check now, much like Instagram and Twitter. It's something that now I check my Robinhood account to see what it's doing. Mm-hmm. You know,
still have Robinhood?
I do. You know, it's just a pain in the butt to it's not really that much of a pain in the butt. I just don't know if any of them are any better at the end of the day. There is a few others alternatives that I saw that I was going to do. If I transfer out of Robinhood, they take $75. I don't really have that much in there anyways. So that's
even if you don't have $75 in there, they still will.
Yeah, it's a fee that they would charge you to move your portfolio. At that point, you would just close your positions and then close your account. Close your positions, meaning sell your stock and
just kind of start from
and then
scratch.
Put it in your bank account and then close your account and start from scratch.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, I still have Robinhood as of right now. But it's become something that's been a time waster for me because I'm mm-hmm. constantly checking and making sure that I'm not losing everything. But like I said, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But I also want to make sure I'm not in a position where that Sundial stock was up, you know, 200%. And, it's a good time to get out now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to check at least every few minutes to make sure something drastic isn't happening and I'm asleep. So it's kind of become a negative thing. But we're figuring it out, you know.
One step at a time.
I'm just using it like a savings account right now. Mm-hmm. For something I can put aside. I have 401ks. At my jobs, I have, but I don't really save anything. So I'm using it as like a savings account.
Right.
401k, you can't go. You can. You get a column, to paperwork. It's a whole
mess.
Deal.
It's a ball of gone, as they would say.
Yeah. But this, if I just sell it and then I can transfer it to my bank and then it's, you know, there. So
it is weird that we're moving. Not weird. I mean, it seems like the, you know, the next step, but we're moving to a global currency, you know.
I think that's what they want to do.
That's the whole point.
Yeah,
is that, you know, you that's what they did with the euro, although it wasn't global, but it was, you know, between countries.
Yeah, the European Union.
Right. So you were able to use the same currency in Greece that you could use in Italy, that you could use in France, etc.
There was plans for that, the Amero, which would have been Canada, Mexico, and the United States.
No, thank you.
I'm with you.
But now we're moving to crypto. So there's no government behind crypto. This isn't like the U.S. government.
There is. There's ones, Ripple, XRP.
No centralized banking or governments behind like Bitcoin, like the big ones, stuff like that. I know that I heard the Ukraine is having like their own cryptocurrency for like their country. I'm seeing more and more people are either investing, paying attention, or you can now kind of, you can pay with Bitcoin or pay with certain cryptos.
Tesla pumped in $1.5 billion to Bitcoin, and they're also accepting it as payment now.
I saw that,
and that's what caused a huge boost this week with heading over 40,000 for one.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a big deal.
And it was interesting because I was listening to another podcast that was talking about this. It wasn't Elon Musk's personal account that invested in Bitcoin. It was Tesla.
A company, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard that the banks are not going to pursue his strategy with that. So, like, JP Morgan and stuff isn't going to put assets in the Bitcoin, for example. I think Ripple might be one. I was trying to buy it, but apparently they're being sued or something by South Korea. I don't know. Above my pay grade again, and I started to read about it and I glazed over. But you can't buy it, even on Coinbase, you can't buy it. But that's like the bank's main one. And if they try to push it, of course they're going to push their own. Mm-hmm. And that could be one that would go up over time. And I've heard some, my boss's investment group, his guys that he goes to the club with, they're all talking about Ripple now, but you can't buy it. I don't even know how you would purchase it right now. So there's advantages to it. There's disadvantages to it. The thing about Bitcoin is that you don't have to worry about government. So I don't know. It is pushing to that one, just making everything one thing, which is cool. On one hand, it's kind of cool. You don't have to worry about, you know, going to another place and, you know, turning in your currency and getting their currency. Yeah, you can just commerce around the world.
But then if you can hack the system, then everyone's effed.
Well, not only hack it, but my concern would be that you just go, you're a dissident, and then they go, we're turning off your wallet. You can't buy anything. You can't do business
anymore.
And
then you don't have access to any
money. And then you don't have access.
Because it's all in one place.
And then you commit acts of violence because you have no access to this stuff. And then they call you a terrorist, and then they can crack down on that because terrorists are now forming. Yeah. It's not going to be great.
No. I mean, there's certainly pros and obviously a lot of cons as well. But just, like, it's making, like, money laundering easier. It's making, you could pay for drugs, like whatever you're paying for. It's anonymous.
Yeah.
So you don't know, you know, you have like usernames or whatever, like, you know, it's going from A to B, but other than that, you can't really trace it to, again, trace it to a user, but that's, you can't access someone's information. Or maybe you can. What the hell do I know? So.
Yeah, well, supposedly it's uber secure, and that's kind of the problem too, is that it's uber secure. So, you know, people have lost their hard drive where these things were stored, and then they really don't have access to them anymore. They forget their password. There's been a lot of stories like that where this guy's, well, gosh, this is when it was at 30,000. Now, out of a quarter, 25% boost up to that. So now it's like 500 million this guy is worth, but he forgot his password. And then if you put it in so many times, it locks you permanently. Out. Locks permanently. There's no way to get it back. So it's just there. There must be some way, but apparently no, there's not. And there's only a certain amount of bitcoins out there.
How many are there?
I don't know.
It's a finite number.
There's a finite number, and you can make a certain amount. And I think that by 2100 or something, they'll all be mined, meaning that it's that blockchain technology. This is way,
Know. Like, I didn't know if, because I understand. No, actually, I don't. But I know that the verb is mining in terms of trying to access Bitcoin
computing. From my understanding, and I might be wrong in this. I don't know if we should even talk about it. But it figures out transactions using your PC power, like when you're hooked to a network.
Okay.
And then you can earn Bitcoin that way by keeping a log of the transactions using your CPU. Is my understanding.
I don't even know
if you know, give me a call and correct me. 813-693-2124, Twitter, @home_made_man. And you can find on a Homo Radio.
Yeah.
Send us a message if you're into this, and or if you got some hot stock tip that you can share, please let me know. I'm ready to just, you know, bounce. I played a video of Dave Ramsey, who's like the financial guy.
I know, yeah.
And he was saying, you know, they were asking about what the appropriate amount for a stimulus check was.
He said $0.
And he said zero. Yeah, which I don't necessarily disagree with that, but he was talking about if you're, I'm paraphrasing here, but if 600 bucks changes your life, you're mentally ill and something's wrong with you, which is not completely wrong in that, but it's also like, just such a misunderstanding about what's happening, you know,
on
with common people. Yeah.
Do you think, is he, I don't know if he was always a guy who had money or.
No, he said, he even said in the clip that he's been broke, and yeah, he's not wrong. He's just kind of an ass. You know, it's like one of those scenarios.
I know who he is. I'm not really too familiar with what he says and everything.
And like we learn that these corporations get handouts all the time. They get bailed out all the time. So if we're doing that, then I want to be bailed out too if we're going to do that. I don't want to do that at all. However, if it's happening, I want some too.
Right.
But anyway, big week in Tampa Bay. We had, I know you were very excited. Tom Brady and the Bucks won the Super Bowl.
Very exciting. Stuff. I was excited that you were excited. I don't know if I was excited that the city was excited and that Tampa Bay is really not, it's not really a sports city. It is becoming one, I suppose, but it's really not like a sports city. I would say it is.
No, it is. I think it is.
It's not, though, because we have sports here. I get it. And, you know, we got the Lightning, we got the Buccaneers and stuff like that. But in regards to, like, the fans that exist in Boston or Chicago or Detroit, it's not even close.
Well, bigger markets.
That I mean, too. And also there's a lot of transplants here. So a lot of people that live in Tampa, I was talking to one of my friends today. I'm like, oh, did you go to the parade? He goes, why would I? I'm a Packers fan. And I'm like, shut up. You've lived here for like 25 years. Get over yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. We are a big commuter state. You're right. Yeah. But there's been a lot of, I mean, sports, the Lightning kind of turned things around. The Rays have been good for a long time. Buccaneers have been really bad for a long time. That's why it was so, you took an Instagram video of me.
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, yeah.
That I meant to share because I was not emotional, I wouldn't say, but I was just explaining to everyone why this was such a big deal because a lot of people that were watching weren't sports fans.
All from Tampa.
All from the area. Yeah. So they weren't really, and I was explaining to them why Tom Brady coming here, winning his seventh was historic, and then doing it for an organization is, I think I heard this, that has been the literal worst winning percentage team in professional sports. They're definitely in the top 10, top maybe even 5. And they might even be one.
Worse than the Jets?
Worse than the Jets, historically. Yeah. And the past 10 years have even been worse than their first 10 years in the league when they were like really bad. You probably don't remember, but people wearing bags on their heads and going to Bucks games and stuff. They had like a 2-14 season, and I think they went winless one season. They just have not been good for a very long time.
So, yeah, this is really cool to see an underdog and a relatively newer team. I know one where they established 76 or something.
76, yeah. Now they got 2 Super Bowls, which is really good because some teams still have none.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just having Brady, who's like this, you know, larger-in-life figure. Superhuman. And, you know, coming to a team that's been, you know, hopeless for a long time. And in his first year... winning the Super Bowl, bringing a world championship to the city. It was something special to see. And I was just so excited because I've suffered for a long time as a fan.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the first Super Bowl in 2003 and I was, you know, a kid. It was, so been stinkerooski basically ever since then. So, and we always said, you know, you and I have been friends and Johnny and stuff for years. And we always go, this is the year. Every year we talk about the Bucks.
Yeah,
Bucks are going to be good.
Eyes.
Yeah, and then they're just bad.
Yes, the bad.
But the way it happened too, like they were not really great. They kind of gelled in week 15, you know, and then they gelled at the right time, right into the playoffs. But they were like 7-5 at one point, and we were even talking about like, I don't even know if this team's going to make the playoffs right now. And that would have been a failure for Brady, and that's just his documentary. They're following him around. Like they did Michael Jordan for the Last Dance. They're going to put together some sort of documentary for him in the next few years after
he
retires.
Should.
Yeah, and I can't wait to watch the footage from the 2020 season.
Yeah.
And it was just so, like, COVID was happening. It was just such a unique season in so many ways. Winning it at home in Raymond James in Tampa, that's symbolic. Having Brady do it, becoming the greatest quarterback of all, like, I think cemented. He's got 7 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, I looked up the next person was, like, a linebacker, and he got 5. Charles Hartley or something.
Haley, I think, for the Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah, he had 5 Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a bunch of people that have 4, but, I mean, no one even has 6. Like, he's ahead by 2 now.
Yeah, he's got more, I think, than any other organization, period, now. The Patriots had 6 with him.
With him.
Yeah, wow. And now he's got 7, you know, now one with the Bucks. So it was just such a cool thing for the city, and they had the boat parade earlier this week, so I didn't get to attend. I was working that day.
It was yesterday.
Probably I don't know if I would have went anyway, but it looked fun.
We had some people out there because, you know, the whole thing was, like, goat on a boat because, like, Tom Brady is a goat. So we have goats at work, and we dressed up one of our goats in a Tom Brady jersey. And one of our guys, Lummy, was out there on a boat with the goat. And was actually, you know, I'm sure you've seen it 1,000 times by now, but Brady drunkenly throwing the
Lombardi
trophy.
Oh, yeah. That was a classic moment. Yeah.
Him, Lummy, and Rhett are right behind him.
Oh, really?
In that video. I'll show it to you and point him out to you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very exciting for the city. I'm glad it happened for him. You saw the school marm local media complaining that this is going to lead to just absolute devastation, a holocaust of people living in the area because people were out there celebrating maskless.
Shut up. You didn't say anything when Biden won the election, you jerks.
Yeah, it's funny.
You didn't say anything when BLM was like trying to burn down stores and accost police officers. Like, everyone needs to shut the F up. I'm tired. Dude, I'm so tired of it.
I know.
And it's like you're vaccinated, and then it's like, well, you know, that's only 70% effective or what, 95, so you have 5. Now we have new variants. You should wear 2 masks instead of 1. You know what? Wear 10 masks. That's probably better. But then we'll run out of supply. And then you should just stay home because we don't have enough supply. Enough. Yeah. I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be dead than just like be scared to do everything. You're living
afraid
like you're
to
dead.
Live. Yeah.
Correct. If you're scared to live, you might as well just be dead. Just be dead already. It's enough. I literally said that today when they were like, oh, you know, they're still saying, you know, you should doesn't just because you get a vaccine doesn't mean you're out of the woods. You should still wear. I said, shut up. I don't even want to hear it. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to hear it. And this is, listen, I don't know if I even told you this. Maybe I did. My mom got COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the whole reason why...
And she had surgery, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that on here, but she had open heart surgery back in October. And when I went home in California to December, I didn't see her because I wanted to make sure that she was safe. And I was very honest about... I felt like I was like a hoe, you know? I was like, I've been very promiscuous, Mom. I've been out at, you know, with people, you know, pretty much mass... following rules, but...
Still taking a risk, in
Florida, the rules are lax, so you have to wear a mask to get in the club, and then once you're in, it's no one cares. So I told her, I said, you know, I'm on a prophylaxis. I've been on hydrochloroquine and stuff like that and whatever, but I didn't want to see her in the event that she got sick and, you know.
Sure, put her at risk,
and
yeah.
She's high risk, and people with heart conditions are extremely susceptible because that infection gets in there, and then it's pretty much game over. So she got COVID, you know, didn't really tell me about it. Until later, I wasn't too happy about the delayed message. You know, she was really suffering with it for a week, and I didn't know. But that's a separate story. Nevertheless, I mean, even she feels the way that I do, where she was like, I just should be careful, and everybody else should kind of get back to living, even though she ended up getting it, not for me, but ended up getting it and really kind of suffered through it. But so to say that it's not like I think it's a hoax, or it's not like, you know, people are like, you don't know anyone that's had it or had a hard time with it. My mother did, and she was, you know, it really rocked her world badly. But you know, that's not she's not saying that everybody needs to. She doesn't believe in the shutting down of schools. Like, that was awful to her. She lives in California, Southern California, so, you know, enough said. But at the beginning of the pandemic, they didn't want kids at like the skate park, even when they knew that kids were by and large fine. So people put like sand.
They filled it. Yeah,
filled it with sand. She lived right there, and she was like, "That's disgusting. Like, these kids can't even play."
Yeah, so. It's really doing damage, and I've been saying it since the get go, but it's a cost benefit analysis to like, this isn't going away, and you just like the things are so simplistic that are, well, we just need to stay home. Okay, well, you have to go to the grocery store and get food. You're going to be out with people. Well, you know, they just go, we just need to lock everything down, border up everything for a month, and this would be over. Yeah, it would, but that's not feasible. That's just not the way it's done. Like, you can't do that. But people would starve to death. People would die if we did that.
Right.
So is it worse to die from COVID or worse to die from not being able to get goods and services provided? Right. Like,
but then you can't work, and then you can't pay for food.
You can't pay for the things.
So
the government needs to step in and give. Are you going to mobilize, you know, the military to drop off, you know, food boxes to every single home?
They're putting themselves at risk by getting
them. Exactly.
You know, so you can't just have it. You can't. I mean, I wish we could all, you know, be fed just by solar power and go outside and just like be like plants. But unfortunately,
it's just very.
It doesn't work that way.
It's very simplistic. Like, and then I keep hearing that even with the vaccinations, it's going to be around forever. So we need to just start to figure out how to live with this thing, and die by it potentially. Yes, it might be people die of the flu. People are going to continue to die of COVID. You know, hopefully we can mitigate it to the point where we can have some sort of semblance of life back. I do think this is going to be a 9/11 type of event where probably masks will just be a thing.
Yeah.
No.
For sure. And I'm just, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just like, you know, going through the airport screenings and not being
taking
able to go to the
terminal.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those
things. Changing things. But all I have to say, and I'll make this my closing statement, is, God bless Ron DeSantis. I love him more and more. He was getting some trash because he was
seen
maskless at the Super Bowl, and he's like, "How am I supposed to drink a beer with a mask on, a-holes?" And then I saw somebody else was like yelling at him about, you know, the parade, and he goes, "Listen, you didn't say anything when Biden was elected and people were parading in the street. You didn't say anything when people were rioting for social justice."
Probably play that audio.
Yeah, and that was great. And he's just like, "I'm proud of what they did. You know, if you're scared, stay home. We're getting our," he said, "we're getting our elderly vaccinated," and shut the hell up.
Yeah, here's the audio here. This is
Ron DeSantis, Governor of Florida.
I'm gonna blast in the press.
Hell yeah.
The media is worried about that, obviously. You guys really love that. You don't care as much if it's a, quote, peaceful protest, and then it's fine. You don't care as much if they're celebrating a Biden election. You only care about if it's people that you don't like. So I'm a Bucks fan. I'm damn proud of what they did on Sunday night. And so in terms of the UK variant, here's what we know. We know, based on all the evidence, that these vaccines are going to be effective against that. And that's really the main concern. I mean, we're getting our seniors vaccinated. We've not seen any data or any evidence to suggest that these vaccines are not effective. And so if we get the seniors vaccinated, we're going to be good, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, there you go. So he kind of, and then he's been getting a lot of crap, boy, about how terrible he's doing it. But if you look at Florida, yes, we have a lot of cases. We have the third or fourth most populated state in the union. We're going to have more cases overall because there's more population here. But if you put it in per cap, I think we're 26th. Been open since September. We're actually below the mean. So,
I think we're like 16th in terms of like deaths per 100,000, which is great. Considering all of, I almost said the S word, all of the bad press we got at the beginning when it was like Florida's a mess, you know, and it was everything's open and sure, absolutely. But again, herd immunity happened faster here because all those people that were at the parade, I'm sure many of them have already had COVID.
Right.
You know
what I mean?
So you have the antibodies. You got.
It's just this, you know, it's the usual suspects of local press around here, the alt weekly that we have, and
creative loafing. Yeah, I saw the title of an article that I wasn't a fan of.
And I want to see what the numbers are in a few weeks, because we got told that Thanksgiving, everyone was going to die. We got told Christmas, everybody was going to die, and there was an uptick, and there very well might be an uptick. And I don't know, you know, maybe I'll be eating my words here, but it just by the pattern, I think we'll probably see a slight increase, and then it'll go back down again.
And our numbers should be actually way up because our average age of like the person that lives here is like, I think it's 12 years older than New York's mean age, right? Because there's so many retirees here, so you would expect the number to be even greater because it affects elderly so much more.
Yeah.
But everybody that went to the parade, I mean, by and large, were young, healthy people.
It definitely seemed that way, yeah. There was another, the Hillsborough County superintendent got busted. He was at the parade maskless. And I will say he did send out an email to his teachers to avoid large crowds, and then he goes and does it. So, you know, people can't live by their own rules, and this has been shown over and over and over again. At a certain point, you just got to say, you know what, I think we should kind of go back to normal. And we'll live our lives. We'll, you know, risk your life every day walking out the door. It's awful that people are losing their life to this thing because, the WHO said it didn't come from the lab because they interviewed the lab employees and they said it didn't come from there.
No, it didn't.
So it's unlikely that it came. So it's just, it's a joke. I mean, it's laughable at this point. If it was a weapon, not saying it was, I'm just saying if it was, it's a great weapon to use against the world because, especially America, because we do value, some of us anyways,
liberty and freedom.
Do like liberty and freedom and are willing to live our lives, you know, at the risk of dying, which at the end of your life is 100% chance that you will die. And on that cheery note, we will end the show. Thanks so much, Anna, for coming by. 813-693-2124. Again, is that voice and text line. Please call in. Talk to us. HMBradio.com is the website. Home_made_man. Reach me on Twitter and Instagram. Slide into my DMs. Check out NTT Fitness. Check out NTT Nutrition. And check out Truvi Salon and Spa. Thank you to them for sponsoring this program. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please share it with a friend. That word of mouth thing is so helpful. That's the best form of advertising. So those of you who are doing that, thank you for sharing it with your friends and family. Retweet it, all that stuff. Facebook, share it, all that. Thanks for doing so. I appreciate it. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. I will talk to you very soon. I love you. Don't get COVID. Don't die. Okay, bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.